Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And in this cycle that we're experiencing right now, this 24-hour news cycle that's been going on for quite a few decades now, we thought that what we were going to experience is very in-depth, detailed breakdowns of what is going on in different stories, whether it's in political or national, worldwide, whatever. But a lot of times what we're hearing is the basic narrative of the network itself, what they want us to know. And then that narrative just gets hammered over and over again. Thankfully, we have people like my guest this week, filmmaker Sarah Alessandrini, who has been able to not only take what has been given about a specific story, in this case, the fall of Governor Andrew Cuomo from the great state of New York, the place where I called my home for so many years. But what she's been able to do is also take the national media and then see what the perspective is from the New York media. And then in this particular series, which is called This Is What New Yorkers Say, getting the perspective of New Yorkers in general and getting their breakdowns and their perspectives on what is going on in terms of, is someone guilty until proven innocent or innocent until proven guilty? How do they have a chance? How do those who are accused of something have a chance to survive and possibly tell their story in this time when the narrative, once it begins, is just hammered over and over again? What she has been able to do is go much further into this story than what I've seen a lot of different reporters do and create something that is truly fascinating. And it's something that I really hope something comes of, because I think that this will hopefully inspire other reporters to remember that they have a job to do and to actually dig deeper, just as Sarah has. So I am really excited to have Sarah here to talk about the development of the series and what the fate of it is going forth from here. So it is my pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Sarah Alessandrini. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, George. I'm good. Thank you for having me, and thank you for all the nice words.
I'm really fascinated by what you were able to do. And I said this to you at the before we started recording, but it reminded me of the way that you have this structured, because you have the intro, which is all about what the media was saying during that time. As soon as allegations of Andrew Cuomo, you handling COVID the way he did, especially with nursing home patients, and then going into the allegations of abuse that he was facing that eventually led to him resigning. It was really fascinating because we got to hear the national perspective and then the state perspective. And then you hinted for more details to come in the second episode. And in that second episode, we got to hear from actual New Yorkers sharing their stories. It was very much structured like Citizen Kane, and where you get that news on the march breakdown at the very beginning, and then more and more information comes out as those blanks are getting filled. So no pressure at all. But yes, I just compared you to Orson Welles. So.
Wow. I will have to tell all my friends that. I will say that.
Hey, if that goes on the poster, I want credit, okay?
Actually, to me, when I was making this documentary, I was thinking more about Barry Lyndon. So to me, it's more like Barry Lyndon, because how Barry Lyndon started, the movie's about something. So my docuseries is all about Cuomo, first episode, second episode, all about Cuomo. But then eventually, as the story evolves, people start talking about other bigger topics. So they start talking about the Democratic Party, the division with the party, the media, how they do their job. And then there is like the fourth episode that is like mainly about women empowerment and the Me Too. And probably they mentioned Cuomo only once. And at the end, mm-hmm. we really talk about our society, how we go to build a better future for everybody instead of just like dealing with whatever it's on the day. So to me, it was like Barry Lyndon. Because Barry Lyndon starts, mm-hmm. it's about the story, the cousin, the love story part. And then at the end of the movie, you totally forget that was also the inciting incident. And you start, because his life changed so much throughout the movie, and then it became something yeah. different. And so to me, it was always Barry Lyndon, the docuseries.
That's also a wonderful comparison as well, because that's what works so well about so many different documentaries, because so many documentarians, if I'm not mistaken, they'll go in with one topic in mind, but then as the filming continues on, all of a sudden they realize, oh, wait a minute, this is the real story. And it reminded me very much of a much lighter documentary, which was called The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, where Seth Gordon wanted to basically just create a documentary about these people that are playing all these classic style games. And then the more he got into it, the more he learned about this organization that was really championing one of their own and suppressing the scores of another person. And it became like this wonderful rivalry between the two of them. And it really evolved into this really amazing story that you wouldn't have thought would have come from just something like that. So it's really one of those, it really feels like one of those things where it's just, okay, you have this, but thankfully, once more elements started coming into play, you didn't suppress them. You didn't want to say, let's just talk about this. You let it evolve. You let it flow. And that's what some of the best documentaries do.
Yeah, yeah. Like it all started because I saw what happened to Cuomo and I didn't like how they were, like the media was doing it, the politicians were doing it. I think it was wrong. And I think people needed to understand more about this case. But as the more I was thinking about, even before filming, I was like, there is a big opportunity here to actually have an even bigger conversation about where we're going with society. But until actually I started interviewing people, I didn't even know what they would be able to give me because I didn't know these people. And some people, I found them through people that I found online. Other people were on the street. I didn't know they would be such a wise group of people. And it was like unbelievable, like how much they open up, how authentic they were. And these are not professional people on camera, obviously. I traveled pretty much all around in New York State because I was like in Long Island, New York City, obviously, Albany, Rochester. So I traveled like in different communities. But I had no idea how much they would be able to give me, the people I found, like even the people on the street. They were like some of the best interviews, like people very wise and authentic yeah. and like such depth in the way of thinking. So it wasn't until like I actually went and did the filming that I knew, okay, I have something big here.
And that it's so unlike the typical news media that grabs onto a narrative and just throttles it until every last bit of juice is squeezed from it. And what you're doing, I think, is wonderful, is that I think a lot of news media companies really need to learn from is that they need to get those other perspectives. They have 24 hours to tell these different stories, to allow all these stories to breathe. And if they just keep on pushing the narrative over and over again, that's not news, that's propaganda.
Yeah, and that's what I saw with Cuomo. Like, even before I did the documentary, even when he was still the governor, I would see, like, how the media, they were writing articles, all with that mentality mm-hmm. of, he's a bad guy, so we have to find whatever details in every story, in whatever tone of anyone that said something, to make it look like he's the bad guy. That's not fair for anyone.
You're right. Yeah, it's not just fair to him, not just unfair to him, but it's unfair to everyone else because you're taking away facts that would have otherwise influenced other people's opinion. And if they just are told this person is bad because of this and this, and then just keep on saying this and this every single day, every single hour, then that's all the people are going to wind up regurgitating, and then they're going to wind up being those sort of mindless drones that they're really counting on, which is sad. It's especially if this is supposed to be a news media, it's your job to get these stories out.
Yeah, I mean, that now it's so important to be able to read the news media from all kinds of sources, like even the ones that you don't agree with. Because, yeah, if you just read some news outlets, you only get very one-sided perspective. And then maybe like your algorithm keeps pushing that, the same video, the same perspective, then you have the same friends. And so it's just like you end up like in that echo chamber where like you only think one specific thing and like you don't give a chance to other opinion. And also like we're losing so much humanity. That's what I wanted to show. Like it was to show the humanity. Maybe you don't agree with all the people that are in the documentary. They have different perspectives. Some they're very similar, but just see them. They are human beings and you can see them like, and that's why I filmed it in a very simple way. Yeah, one shot. I don't cut. And I did that on purpose because when you start cutting, then people can think that you're manipulating what they're saying. But because I kept this as a one thing, you can see these people maybe are talking for like even 2 minutes. And it's the way they're thinking. Maybe they make the mistake. One person said, oh, wait, I didn't mean this. And then they change what they're saying. And I wanted to make it in this way so that the audience would know I'm not manipulating you. Obviously, there is an edit between people so that the topic keeps going, makes sense, but not in a way where, and I'm not manipulating your emotion. There is, people are talking, there is no music. I've done it on purpose because when you put music, then you start feeding emotion into people, even if maybe what the person is saying. When I first came to this country, I was not used to speaking English. I went to a movie theater and by the end of the movie, I couldn't even understand what they were talking because they were just talking so much and the music, I just missed the point because the music was there. I start crying and I'm like, why am I crying? I don't even know what they're saying. So to me, when I made this documentary, I was like, I'm not going to put the music when people are talking because I want to preserve really what they're saying. I want you to focus on what they're saying. Use your prefrontal cortex. You know how movies tend to shut down your cortex and you accept things that like maybe would not make sense in real life.
I yeah, they the all opposite. Say like turn off your brain and enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, I did the opposite. I forced you to keep these longer times so that like you actually start thinking and listening to what people have to say. And I was thinking like even when I made the movie, when it first was a movie, like the intro was actually very long. It was like 5 minutes. Like now in the docuseries, it's 1 minute, just the intro in each episode with the music.
Right.
The movie was like 5 minutes. So it was so long. And I was thinking about Funny Games. Like Funny Games, you know, when there are like that super long establishing shots where like you're like, okay, in normal movie, what is that? 2 seconds, 5 seconds establishing shots so that you can just see where the story takes part. But they were like so long. And because it's so long, you start thinking like, okay, wait, is something about to happen here? What is going on? Why is this so long? And so that
it just
forces
immediately sets you on edge. Yeah.
Yeah. And that forces you to start thinking instead of like just dismissing the images when like an image change every second. But because that in that establishing shot were so long in Funny Games, your brain starts thinking about something that maybe is not there. So that's why I was like, keeping like this long times, even with the documentary at times, because that forces you to keep thinking and to stay engaged.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that I love to hear about in terms of having my guests on is what I call the road to creativity. And that's when someone is on this one path, but then all of a sudden they experience something or read something, meet someone, see something and just say, oh, I want to do that. And all of a sudden they make a complete course correction. They're on this other path. So what was it about documentary filmmaking that really made you want to pursue this in the first place?
Yeah, it was like the first of my many bad decisions. That's how I called it. I've been interested in politics for a long time, but at that point of my life, I was trying to avoid politics. I was just like so busy trying to figure out my life. I was working with art organizations. So I was like more in the exhibition part than actually filmmaking. I was still making projects like music videos, but I was not planning to make a documentary, not a feature movie, not doing it by myself. But then I was like, during COVID, I was following press conferences because of my work. And then I started seeing Cuomo. And so I got passionate again about politics and government. And so I was like watching him, listening to him. And then when that story happened, I was like, okay, I have to do something. I don't know what I can do, but I have to do something because people really need to hear about what I'm seeing, but that the media is not presenting. And so 2 months later, like maybe it was a month later, I started looking for groups on social media, and I found a group that was like supporting Cuomo. And then the idea came to me is maybe I can make a documentary about it. And first it started like very small. I was like, maybe I'm going to just make some videos to share online, interviewing people or something like that. But then as soon like I started thinking about the opportunity for a bigger project came, but I had no money. But I've been so used to making, like, to do every kind of position in the industry, because even when I was in Rome, I was like working, I did editing, I did sound, I did cameras, and I was doing the directing. So I pretty much done anything in my life before.
Yeah.
So I knew I could make a movie all by myself, pretty much, but I had no money. I didn't think it would cost that much because just the traveling, I had the stimulus checks, so I could just, I traveled for 10 days. So I filmed this, it was at the end of October. So it was really like 2 months after he resigned. And so it was a very short window, like from the moment he resigned to me, like, oh, I'm going to do a feature documentary. And I was not even telling anyone in my life, like pretty much only a few people knew, because I had no idea if I would be able to achieve anything at that point. I had no money. And so many movies are getting done, but they never like get out, they never get finished, because there are so many like even legal issues and all that kind of stuff that you don't even, it's not just the making of the movie. The problem to make a movie is easy. Now to make a good movie is difficult, but to make a movie per se, it's easy. But then really everything else is the most difficult part. And so I never knew how much I would be able to achieve. And I had to learn, because I always done the creative part, like the editing, the making of the movie, but I never really done before all the legal part. I didn't know about what legal stuff you have to do if you actually make a movie, insurance. I didn't know any of that. So I had to learn as I was going for this. Yeah, I first made it as a feature documentary, and I finished like in 6 months. Six months, I finished it. So it was super fast. And I was working a 9-to-5 at the time. So I would just go home because like how my brain works, it was, I've seen the interview. So I instantly, like I was able to create that narrative in such a short time, like in 1 or 2 months, I finished the editing. And then I did the sound by myself. And
really?
Yeah, I've done that. And that this was the feature documentary. Like and it was like 2 hours long. So it didn't have any of the archival footage. So because again, when you do archival footage, it's much more work. And that's where you really have to worry about third party rights. So I knew if I did that, it would be too complicated. So I just did the interview parts. So very little chance of having issues. I still had a lot of like issues with the people that I was actually, they helped me find the people to interview. They were like threatening me at a certain point. So then I also had to fight against the only people who were actually helping me here. So it was like a big issue. I had to cut some interviews too, because they were friends of these people. So there was like all this drama right the first month as I was trying to finish. Like already doing a documentary is very difficult. Doing it on your own is very difficult. If you also have to fight with the only 2-3 people that actually you were hoping they could help you. It was like, it was a nightmare the first month. Oof. But I was able to get to the finish line, and I start going to festivals. I went to festival, it was like 2022, and like different ones, especially in New York State, also one in Los Angeles. And that's where, but before then, like even, one of my friends gave me such a good compliment, like the one you said about Citizen Kane for sure at the time. So I didn't even know how people would respond until actually I went to festivals. Yeah. And on festival, I got to see also other filmmakers, but also a lot of like New Yorkers, how they would perceive that. And so their reaction was so interesting for me. Because if people tell you like, okay, your movie, it's fine. Okay, that's maybe a failure. But if people either love it or hate it, that's when you know like you hit something good. So I saw that like my documentary had that thing, and it was really a way to spark conversation. The documentary was more about that than anything else. It wasn't about the cinematography. Sometimes when you talk to people in movie theater, in the movie business, they're like, oh, the cinematography is good. It's not about that. It's about having real conversation with real people. That's what this is all about.
And that really makes me interested in seeing the actual documentary, the feature documentary. Is that still available to you in some way, shape, or form?
No, but like I said, your private link, if you want to watch it, is not out. It went to festivals, but I just self-distributed. Maybe one day it's going to be. But and that one, I made also some changes because, of course, I did that in 2021-22. So yeah. I cut.
And we've gotten more facts since then. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that I added that. That's why I also wanted to make it into a docuseries so I can create that extra episode at the first one, the intro. So that actually, because if you already knew the story, and some people knew the story at the time, but as the time passed, a lot of people forgot what it was about. So it was so important now to actually have that to see. And then you get to see also what happened after he resigned. So you get a bigger picture until the moment he said he was going to run for mayor.
Yep,
that's the cutoff. But also, yeah, for example, I cut one interview that was in the feature documentary. She was wearing Eric Adams for mayor t-shirt. And then because it was I interviewed him before Eric Adams even went into office. So at that point, I was like, okay, he's been in office. I cannot keep that interview. So I had to cut it because at that point, just because she had that t-shirt, it would make no sense to see someone with a t-shirt documentary because it would feel so old.
And especially because of how quickly his own approval ratings bottomed out. It was maddening to see that, see how someone who looked like they were going to be so well embraced by the city just completely tanked, and for reasons that could have been avoided. So it's wild when you think about that. But I'm glad to hear that it is available in some format, the feature version of it. And the series itself, like the setup for it, I think is a great way to do it, because this conversation is something that never has to end. So it's just like the fact that you're able to provide this additional space for more to follow up on is a great thing. That's something that I think will benefit in the long term.
Yeah, that's why I made it a series too, so I can create other season and continue the conversation because there are so many topics that need to be discussed at the federal level, not just like in New York. So there are so many conversations that we could have, how to improve everything in society, and also and I feel like what's also missing in the conversation, people always focus on what is bad and what goes wrong. But so many things are also going right, and we don't even talk about that. And I'm Italian, so I'm an immigrant here. So I get to see, I grew up in Europe, obviously in Italy, and I come to this country and I can see, yes, there are bad things, but there are also so many good things that are happening in this country. So if we always focus only on the bad, we're really missing so much, and we're risking of losing what's good, trying to pursue something that is perfect. But maybe while we pursue that, we're going to actually lose all the good things that we've gotten so far. So we need to be careful when we have these kind of conversations.
Yeah. And when you say pursuing something that is perfect is very different in many people's perspectives. So one person's interpretation of perfect would be the exact opposite of someone else. So it's something like this, I think, allows definitely more intimacy in things. There was a terrific commercial that was actually done, I think it was by Budweiser. And what they did was they interviewed all these different people, and then they picked this person and this person, and they go into a room together and they have instructions to build a bar and set up the keg, and then at the end of it, have their beer. And they worked together and got to know each other and really enjoyed the time that they spent with each other. And then they both sat down with their drinks and they got to watch the footage of them being interviewed. And you got to see two completely different perspectives from what was there in their conversation originally and when they were building the bar. So it was a great way for them to come to grips with their own limitations, their own prejudices, their own perspectives of things, and how everything can be challenged. And by the end of it, they wound up at the end of each episode, at the end of each commercial. And again, this may be very manipulative considering everything, because all the tricks were used, using the music, using selective editing. But the story that they wanted to tell in this commercial was very effective. So it sounds like what you're able to produce here And I really hope that a lot of people really get their inspiration from how you did this and continue forward with it, was getting that additional perspective and getting those intimate moments where you're getting to hear from people that were directly involved and may have been manipulated by the national media.
Yeah. Yeah, I do hope so. I think like there is so much. It's that's where I feel like I have issues with Hollywood, the way they're like doing movies now too, because yeah, it's always like manipulating and forcing emotions. And I feel like I want to have more honest conversation. Like they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be constructed, but they just have to feel more real. And that's what I want to do with this documentary, create something real, whether it's not the whole picture, whether it's not the whole perfect story, but it's human. That's what I want to make sure that we show humanity and also the humanity of Cuomo. That's what these people are showing, because we forget, okay, someone is a politician, they're still human being. They're also suffering in their own way. They have to deal with so many complicated things. And to run a state, to run a country, it's a very complex thing. But we forget about the humanity of everybody.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that too.
And so would that be something that you would recommend to those that are looking to start their own documentaries?
Like which part?
To find the real? To focus on the actual, like the real people.
I definitely, especially if you're like an independent filmmaker, I think you have to do something different, like not trying to recreate what Hollywood does. And I see a lot of filmmakers, they're just trying to please Hollywood. And so doing films that have those same standards, those same things. But then you're also competing with someone who has a much bigger budget from you. So I don't know if it's even like you can be really successful in doing that. So especially if you're an independent filmmaker, try to focus on something that is real for you, like something that is meaningful. Also, because if you're making a documentary or a movie by yourself, like the average person is going to give up very quick. All these years I had to, it's been a nightmare, honestly, but the best nightmare of my life. It's hard to describe if you've never been in the process of something like this, because every day you have a different challenge. And I didn't have money even to start with. So I had to find the money, like getting into debt to continue all the expenses. And I was struggling even to pay for my own rent while I was keep trying to make this documentary. And sometimes you have people that are like making life worse for you. And sometimes even the collaborator you find, you have to double check everything, because even lawyers, they make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so you have to triple check everything. You have to make sure you're giving all the information, because not everybody's giving you all the information. So you have to really be on top of everything. So
absolutely.
It's very difficult. And then also the distribution part, that's another thing. I decided to self-distribute it by myself, like through aggregators and everything. But I was even exploring the opportunity of distributors. And even that, I was like, okay, that's not a good fit for what they offer. So you always have to deal with all this decision. And then you're going like, oh, this is what I want to do. And then all the information keeps changing. And you're like, okay, now I spent 3 months pursuing something, or a year. And now I realize I don't want to do that. I want to do something different. So you always have, you're always changing. You're always, you have to be flexible. And you're dealing with so many difficulties all the time. And most people just give up. Okay, you make the movie, you send it to festival, that's it. If someone good picks it up, great. If they don't, then you move on and do a different movie. But sometimes if you want to do something meaningful, you have to continue, even when all the odds are against you.
Yeah.
And so you really have to have a reason why you're doing this. Thankfully, I had a very strong internal reason, and it was not about movie making for me. Like, it was really about, I really wanted to have this conversation. I was not like, my goal was not to make a movie. I was like, I've been a filmmaker all my life, so I've been thinking about making movies, but I was not at that moment, I was not planning to make a movie. I made it just because I needed to say something, and that I focus on that, and also representing those people that felt very important to me, like all these people that I interviewed, New Yorkers. So I felt that kind of like duty of to continue to pursue this, even when all the odds were still against me. And like, it's been 5 years. So it's been a long journey. And but I hated every time people were like, oh, are you working on a new project? I'm like, no, I'm still working on the same project. It was so annoying every time people ask you that. But that's why you have to have like very strong reasoning, and it's going to evolve because even the reasons that I had when I started, as I've evolved so much over the years, I don't even know if I remember what was my initial reasoning for doing this, because it kept evolving inside of me.
Excellent. And as this evolution continues on, where can my listeners find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter for sure. I'm on Instagram. There is a Facebook page too. But maybe like the Twitter, I guess it's where I share updates, and Instagram, and all these links, they can go to my website. This is what newyorkersay.com, and you can find links. I also started a Substack where I'm like also like dissecting more politics. So I wrote a very long essay about Mamdani, and I'm against Mamdani. So like criticizing his policies and everything, what he's proposing. So I'm also like, looking at other, expanding my media understanding of the politics work also like in writing.
Excellent. And I hope that, that those of you who are looking into getting into documentary filmmaking are following Sarah's lead and just getting out of the way and allowing the story itself to evolve, because you may be going into this project with one story in mind, but if a different one emerges, you have to run with it. You have to just allow life itself to play out and see what is there. You can't just manipulate the footage or try to manipulate the what you have in order to maintain a message, even if, especially if that message has become muddled or changed or something else comes up that completely disproves it. Whatever the case, you have to run with it. You have to basically just be the documentarian that you are and record life as it unfolds. And it may wind up being a nightmare when it comes to making all these different changes. But if it all goes right, then what Sarah said is absolutely poignant. It will be the best nightmare you've ever had. So by all means, keep pushing, keep working on those stories, keep focusing on what is actually out there. And for those of you documentarians, you have a chance to teach the 24-hour news media how to do their job. So by all means, take that opportunity and run with it. Because in these crazy times, we need your stories, your vision, and your ideas now more than ever. So for Sarah Alessandrini, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever, I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.